Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Stay on Target. We are your hosts.
You can find us both on Twitter at JohnWright777
and ChrisWright250.
And you can find us always online at StayOnTargetPodcast.com.
That's right, John.
That is right, Chris. I know that's right. Why would I say something that wasn't right? I mean, that was very confrontational. You were like, that's right, John.
No, I was agreeing with you emphatically.
You were confirming. I see.
Yes.
I
see. Yes.
Yeah, that just got weird. I don't know.
So anyway, this week on the podcast, we are talking about it's What's on Our Minds, Part 2.
Yeah, this is the second time we have done this.
The first part actually did very well.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed myself.
People wanted to know what were on our minds.
and it's like, I don't even know that, like, that many people were like, yeah, I really dug that one. But it's like there was a part of me that felt like lighter afterwards.
But there was a lot of the next month and a half, it feels like, or 2 months, we have basically planned out. Like, there are time sensitive and
It's like E3
event relevant things.
Yeah, next week we've actually got Royden Lepp on the podcast, and that's gonna be real fun. He's the author of Rust, and he's got a release coming out for
Rust
Free Comic Book
Day. Rust
Volume
3 is coming out. Yeah, yeah, he's got a release like in a Free Comic Book Day hardback from Arcadia.
Yeah, which is May 3rd. Make sure you hit your local comic shops on May 3rd. And if you're in the Nashville area, make sure you hit Outer Limits Borough, which is where I will be that week.
Yep.
So
it's going to be great. They've always got a lot of characters running around. Batman, Wonder Woman, The Flash.
And just the workers in general. They're all characters.
Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that, and then like, I guess from there on out, we've got like some reviews of like movies and games.
Got the Amazing Spider-Man 2, X-Men Days of Future Past. We'll talk about all that later.
Lots of fun stuff.
But first, we're going to be doing an Operation Countdown.
T-minus 5 minutes in counting.
All right, so this week on Operation Countdown, what makes a good reboot? Go!
All right, so there has been a number of good reboots in my mind. Like, in recent memory, we've got The Amazing Spider-Man was a good franchise reboot, like, because it's better than the originals. So
that's
if that's,
true.
Like, our criteria, like, if we're judging it on that criteria of just, is it better than the first one? I mean, maybe that's one.
That's true.
There's also been some, like, mixed reviews ones, like The New 52 in comics.
Good example. Yeah. I like that. Yeah, that came out to, I don't know, middling acclaim, I guess.
Yeah, you know, it's like there's just a lot of characters where it's like, hey, we just literally did away with some characters, which they're slowly bringing them back, which I do like, that they're listening to their fans, that sort of thing. You could consider every new console a reboot of the console that was before.
That's true. Well, let's keep it narrowed in down to just like the actual media.
Okay.
Like the actual like story. So like, you know, we were talking about like Batman Begins.
Yeah, oh gosh.
That was a good reboot.
Yeah. That was a very solid
reboot. We talked a little
bit
last week. We talked about our favorite retro games.
Yeah, yeah.
And we talked about like things that were a bad reboot. Like we said, the A-Team was a bad reboot.
Well, I don't know about bad, but it's like it just wasn't as good as it could have been, I guess.
It was a poor reboot.
Yes.
Let's just say that.
Yes.
Would we consider G.I. Joe to be a reboot?
I think we would. No, it's kind of like a cross-medium thing, though, because G.I. Joe was, there was no, like, live-action movies before.
But there wasn't a live-action A-Team movie either.
Yes, well, there was live-action, but it was live-action, as
shows.
Opposed to G.I. Joe, which is all, like, cartoons and stuff like that.
That's
pretty much.
True. It was still trying to revive the franchise.
Yes. So I guess you could consider that a reboot, because it was rebooting the franchise.
So I would call that one a not good reboot. Like, but what makes one a good one and what makes one a bad one?
Okay, so I guess to me, it's got to have something new about it, something fresh about it, something new to say. Because with Batman, you definitely had some things to say about, you know, the current world that we live in versus like previous takes of Batman.
Yeah.
Whether that's the comics version or whether that's, I guess, the Batman Begins, that sort of thing. Because I think something new to say and some fresh take on it. But if you're just arbitrarily like rebooting something that doesn't need to be rebooted, that's fine. And that's what I guess I had mixed reviews of the New 52 was that some of those series, like Superman, let's just be honest.
Yeah, Superman,
he was
Wonder
in a
Woman.
Slump.
Well, and
he was in a slump.
Both of those were because of the writer.
Yeah. And it was the same writer. So,
correct, for both
so
of them.
Yeah, you can kind of see that parallel.
JMS, we're looking at you.
Yeah, I know, right, man. Anyway, Anyway, so I think that kind of had mixed reviews because you have this idea of some of them do need it. Some of the main guys need it. Some of the biggest like pulls every week needed a fresh, you know, injection of goodness in there. But a lot of the other ones didn't. So like Batman definitely needed a reboot. Like you could do that. Yeah. G.I. Joe, I think there were some cool things that they could have said about
the first one was,
but they
not
never
good
did.
All.
Yeah, but they didn't say anything good about it. A-Team, I think that was it felt like more of a fan movie. More like
Get Smart. We did mention Get Smart last week too, and there was a Get Smart movie. And it was meh.
It was okay.
It felt the same as the A-Team though. Like they tried to play off like this is I think my problem with the way people will remake things.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree with you in that like. In order to make it good, you have to make it relevant, okay?
Yes.
And the thing that people don't do sometimes is because they think that something cannot be made to be relevant, they try to make it overly funny. And,
or at least overly, like, refer back to the original.
Yes, over-referential. And so, like, things like the A-Team and Get Smart, and I'm even going to go so far as to say possibly, like, you know, RoboCop and Dread, like... they refer to themselves. I don't know. Like they don't modernize it enough and make it relevant to today. And it's possible.
Like they are their own. They are their own source.
In production, there's a Knight Rider movie, and it's a guy who's written comedies. I can't remember his name, but I looked it up earlier this past week, and it's going to be just a funny movie making fun of like
Knight Rider.
Like there's no way that this is going to turn out any other way.
Yeah.
And so it's like. Let's take the source material seriously and actually do a good job applying it to today's world.
Yeah, and I agree with you there. Is there anything else like that you can think of off the top of your head within the last like 30 seconds or so that make a good reboot? I think that there's the things you have to have something new to say about it that's a fresh take. And I also think that story still has to be relevant to, you know, and you have to find that relevance.
That's
thing.
True.
So Tomb Raider, for example,
yep.
They revamped her character, made her grittier, made her darker. And I think that's the world we live in.
Well, as you know, as far as video games, we haven't touched on them yet, but like Super Mario Brothers, new Super Mario Brothers took something that was old and made it new.
That's it. That's it. Man. We're done. That is a short amount of time.
There's a whole part of video games we didn't touch on there. It's okay.
It's okay. We can touch on. Man, I feel like you know,
that's the point of Operation Countdown.
That is the point of Operation Countdown. What are we talking about? I'm not upset. I feel like it could have been a longer one this time, though. I feel like, you know.
It's okay.
Yeah, you know, it's fine.
This is the point. The point is to run out of time.
Yeah, that's true.
To not get it all
in. If you don't run out of time, where's the fun in that?
Exactly.
So
we'll keep those thoughts till later.
Okay.
What's on our minds? Okay, John, so this week.
Yeah, so just for some prep here, I just asked Chris, I was like, so what is on your mind? What are we going to talk about? And he was like, no, you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait. So I'm going to just put you on the spot right now. What's on your mind, Chris? What are you talking about?
I want Grand Theft Auto 5 right freaking now.
Yeah?
Yep, I'm ready for it. So like from the minute I picked it up last year and played like, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 hours worth of it.
Yeah.
I have wanted to play it again. And I put it down specifically because I was like, okay, if I keep playing this, I'm going to sink like 50, 60 hours into it.
So this is like the new Red Dead Redemption for you.
It is. And I wanted to experience it on the next gen consoles.
Oh, that makes so you like you have your fingers crossed that this thing's gonna come out to next gen.
Yeah, so like there's been rumors like it's only on Xbox 360 and PS3,
right?
And not even on PC. And so PC gamers have been clamoring for this ever since it first released.
Yeah,
It looks like there's been rumors of it. It looks like it's more and more likely. There's been some like retailers over in like Yugoslavia or something like that have put it up for pre-order with pre-order dates of like. All the way from next year till this June. This is what I think. I think someone, it may be Rockstar, maybe at their booth or something like that, or during one of the major consoles developers' press conferences, they'll say, hey, Grand Theft Auto, available next week.
You think? So like E3? You're thinking
I think like week after E3, we're going to see Grand Theft Auto.
That's interesting. That's interesting. I wouldn't doubt it. And this is something that we had a podcast a long time ago, and I feel like we keep referring to this podcast and keep putting it in like the notes or the post on StandardTargetPodcast.com where we talked about – next, like last gen games coming to next gen or this gen, current gen, whatever you want to call it. Like, you know, so these are like Xbox 360 games that they're going to put out. And so the one I've been waiting on is BioShock Infinite. And like the last DLC just came out. So like, you know, the last DLC for the 360 version came out like last month. Was that last month? And so I think that maybe a year from now we'll see it. Maybe we'll see like the Game of the Year edition, but it's only on next gen.
I think something we'll see similar it by like the what Tomb Raider did.
You think at the end of this year?
But yeah, like we'll see it sometime this year.
Like holiday this year, you know? Yeah, you think like November.
It's been over a year since it was released,
right?
I think we'll see a Game of the Year edition sometime in the fall, maybe early fall, so it doesn't compete with things like, you know, Assassin's Creed, which is in October,
right? On.
And then it will. It's in September. Sorry,
September. Yeah.
No, I'm right. October.
No, it's October.
Then there's October, then November.
Yeah, because then November is like Call of Duty and yeah.
So it'll be Assassin's Creed in October. Then you'll have like the big releases. I think you have Destiny in September. So it might try to stay away from all that. I could see it in early September, something like that coming out. But
you definitely think like this year we're seeing it like in this year.
If they
bring it out like that, then they will bring it out this year.
If I was betting money on this, I would say this year.
Okay, so something else I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
You went to Record Store Day recently.
I did go to Record Store Day.
This was this past weekend.
It was.
Did you pick up anything awesome?
I picked up the Civil War's Live at Eddie's Attic album, released for the first time on vinyl. I also picked up Creedence Clearwater Revival's 1969 singles on white vinyl.
That's exciting.
I didn't, however, get the two that I really wanted. Okay.
Yeah.
There was a 1,000 print run of the Ghostbusters theme song.
Ah.
And there was a Club
Wasn't
Nix.
It printed? Wasn't it printed on? Like, wasn't it?
It
pressed
was on glow in the dark vinyl.
I was about to say. Yeah.
Glow in the dark, but with the Ghostbusters symbol in the middle.
Yeah, I would be
even better.
Like, you would be required if you picked that up. You would be required to listen to that in the dark.
Yep.
For sure. Like you'd
so
have to like charge
really
it up beforehand too, you know.
Didn't get it. It wasn't anywhere any of the record stores I went to. I looked online afterwards, and it's going for over $100 on eBay. So
it's a lot of money.
Unless that comes down, or I find it somewhere for cheap, I'm not getting it.
Yeah.
The other one was the Scott Pilgrim versus the World soundtrack.
Oh, that's cool.
The record
which
store,
is a great soundtrack.
The record store I went to first didn't have it. The second one, like they had sold out earlier in the day for the first like in the first hour. And yeah, it's a great soundtrack by Anagama. Wait, hang on. I will look it up.
Okay, so look it up. So that's Record Store Day. I guess recently I have been playing, and I've been wondering if this is going to come out for next gen, but I kind of doubt if it will yet. Arkham Origins. I've been playing through that guy, and so like they have the new game coming out, and I'm trying. You know, I'm playing through Arkham Origins before the new game comes out. I've also actually thought about going back and playing through Arkham Asylum as well as Arkham City before the new one comes out. Just haven't quite decided to pull the trigger on that because that's a lot of time. So
Anamanaguchi. Yes.
Like, yeah.
Composed the Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which actually, not the movie soundtrack, but the game soundtrack based on the movie, which was based on the comic books.
A lot of based ons in there.
Exactly. But that game was great. I think, did you play through it with me?
Yeah, I played through it with you at least once.
Yep.
Did we not play through it like twice, like to get all of the characters through or
we
something like
that? We
did
play through it twice, and we like, in order, we were, I think we at one point we were trying to get all the achievements for it.
Yeah.
But
that
like,
probably fell through.
Well, you had to play through on like the hardest difficulty or something, and like we just kind of quit after that.
Yeah. That happens sometimes with games. Like you get in, you know, you get really deep into a game, and then like that you're like, I'm going to get all the achievements.
Right.
I'm kind of that way with Titanfall right now because there's one in particular that is like super hard, and I don't know if I can ever see myself doing it. It's the one where you have to kill all of the other pilots in the evacuation phase by yourself.
So this is...
I don't know how to do that.
Well,
one.
I think... Yeah, exactly. This is the thing with that. There are some games that I really want to finish all the achievements for, like Modern Warfare... One. Modern Warfare 1.
Yes. So have you not completed all the achievements on that one?
The final achievement, and I go back and try it every once in a while, and I'm just like, I just can't get it. The final achievement is called Mile High Club, and you have to get through, it's basically a Spec Ops mode, the origin of the Spec Ops mode.
Right.
And you have to get through this like airplane in like literally like a minute. You have to be perfect, and it's like on hardest difficulty.
And that one was like back, like that one... I want to say there was like some walls that like you get can get stuck on.
You can get stuck on everything. Chance. Like and they don't always like the guys don't always behave the same way.
Yeah.
Like
just unforgiving for sure.
Is really unforgiving. And so, like, I haven't gone back, and I still haven't gotten that achievement.
That's the last one.
I keep trying, but I don't. But there are other games that, like, I'll play through, and I'll be like, I think – I forgot I was talking about this the other day. I forgot what game I was talking about. But there are some games I will play, and, like, I'll play all the way through them, and I'll be like, well, I'm done. Like, oh, it was The Bridge. It's an indie title.
Yeah.
I downloaded it on Xbox Live.
Yeah.
It's a puzzle game. And then basically, like, you know, it gives you the option for more achievements and, I guess, just, you know, for your own enjoyment to go through the puzzles again backwards, flipped.
Yeah.
You know, and not – maybe I'll go through that again if I ever want a good puzzle experience or something like that. But, like, I beat the game the first time. It took me a couple hours, and yeah. I'm done with it. Like, that's all I wanted. It was on sale for a couple bucks. I just wanted a couple hours of enjoyment,
yeah.
I'm done with it.
Well, it's also, like, puzzle games, the puzzles get harder, and they introduce new physics or mechanics or whatever based on, like, as you progress through the game. And so, like, to me, if you're turning around and doing those same things backwards, it seems like the progression would be off.
Well,
like,
backwards, unless they introduce it's not necessarily new backwards, things. They're flipped, sorry. Like
mirrored?
Yeah, mirrored.
So, basically. But unless you, like, introduce new mechanics somehow, like they did it through the first time, I feel like that would be a lackluster experience
Here's
to go back through.
Another
you're
good
just
example.
Asking for punishment.
You know, like Super Meat Boy.
Yeah.
I never finished that because it was so hard.
Oh, gosh.
And I didn't finish most of the alternate levels because they were crazy hard. Great game.
Yeah,
man,
it's an amazing
game. And if you like to grind through levels and just, like, you know, you're you love getting beat at video games, like, this is the one for you.
Yeah.
And
that's part of the joy and part of the charm of it, because you have games these days, and this is a completely different tangent that we can kind of delve off into because it's what's on my mind right now. We have games today that are almost to the point where you can't lose. They're so tunneled, there's so many checkpoints, there's so many things that it's like, we were talking about last week about, like, Sonic games, or about, like, our Game Gear games, or about even computer games. If you died and lost all of your lives, no more continues, you're done. You gotta turn off the Game Gear and go, and, like, but to the other side of that is, with no saving, I remember being in the car and it's like, we would get to a restaurant and it's like, no, I'm gonna sit here and I'm gonna finish this because I'm not dead yet.
Yeah.
And I've gotten farther now than I have ever gotten. And I'm plugged into the cigarette lighter right now. And if you turn off this car, you know.
Right.
So I remember having those things happen. But Super Meat Boy was kind of paying homage. Like, so the reason it was so hard was so that guys who loved Mario and loved Sonic and stuff like that could experience that same feeling of frustration of, like, failure again. Because gamers that kind of grew up, you know, back in the retro days of gaming, we have this huge experience of failure. And, like, whenever you finally actually get it and finally actually make it through all the stages and, like, get all the emeralds and all the planets align and you win this game and you see the kill screen, you know, with Sonic, like, chilling on the beach somewhere with shades on or something, you just had this huge, like, feeling of accomplishment.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think that that's what games like Super Meat Boy kind of play to is they play to the people who love really hard and they have overcoming almost insurmountable odds.
Yeah, for sure. So there's something that happened this week. Somebody did a world record run of Super Mario 64. I'll embed this in the article.
StanTruckerPodcast.com.
Yeah, StanTruckerPodcast.com. And he did it in 1 hour, 45 minutes, and 54 seconds.
Holy cow. Of Super Mario 64?
Super Mario 64.
So I told you that I went back and I played through that
all the stars,
and
dude.
I didn't get all the stars.
All 120 stars.
Again, this was one, like, just like all those games where it's like, hey, I was going to get all the achievements. I was going to get all the stars on it whenever I went back and played through it, and I didn't. That failed. Like, it's still, you know, I've still got stars to get on it. But I still took so many hours on
that. Yeah,
it
takes forever. Well, he's got this thing that basically memorized from, you know, with the back of his hand, and like, he uses so many crazy tricks. Like, he's wall jumping. I didn't know he could wall jump in this game. Like, he uses so many.
Yeah, you could, but it was like, I never mastered it because the camera angles were so
awkward.
Well,
like, and in the video, you can watch it. Like, you can see where he's using the joystick and adjusting the camera angles at the same time.
How? Like, do you have, like, how many fingers does this guy, did he, like, have, like, multiple thumbs? I feel like he has
two thumbs
on each hand. Let's say
his left thumb on the joystick and his right thumb on the camera angles.
Gosh.
Like, it's crazy, dude. I've never seen anything like this with Super Mario 64. And he apparently beat his own record. Like, he held the world record before. And then he's now faster.
He's going like he's one of like he's like Usain Bolt where he's like I can shave off.
Yeah,
I can shave off.
What was crazy as well is that he is playing the Japanese version on a U.S. console because he said that the Japanese version was 2.7 seconds quicker than the U.S. version somehow.
What?
The other interesting
like
thing,
it's weird that he's timed this down to the 2.7 seconds. Well, this is obviously someone who is intense.
He claims that he estimates that he's put about 5,000 hour. No, sorry. Was it 5,000? Hang on.
That doesn't make like that.
That sounds like a lot.
But that's like an expert, you know. Like, what is a what are you consider an expert? You know, whenever you have 10,000 hours into something or something like that. If he's down to like 2.7, I wouldn't doubt if he's put even more than 5,000 hours into it. He could probably very well have been playing this and like doesn't know other consoles are out. You know, that's the kind of person that I'm envisioning here is that this guy's like, this is my game. You know, and I guess like that just confuses me. The idea of like a game comes out. And even like, though I love Titanfall and stuff, like whenever a game comes out, it's like for somebody to be like, well, this is my game now, you know, and that's the only game that they play. And there's, you know, the pro gamers and guys like that, guys, you know, that are pro gamers.
Right.
You know, I just couldn't have that amount of dedication to one game, I think. It's just, I just like so many of the other ones, but.
Yeah, it says he's been playing for almost 3 years. He estimates he's played about 5,000 hours of this game. And it obviously shows. Like, whenever you watch this, he has this memorized and down. Like, he's bypassing entire sections of these levels, finding glitches, walls you can walk through.
Wow.
Like, crazy things.
Which that actually plays into what we talked about a number of weeks ago. I don't even remember this, but we talked about how, like, games now are essentially, like, whenever they're released, that's their beta, and they do fixes and patches and stuff, and you don't get the final game until, you know, they're done with the patches. But a game like that was put out back in the day, it's like,
It's got glitches, it's gonna stay that way.
Yeah, if it's got glitches, it's got glitches. Guess what? They're, you know, that's, you know, it's part of the game now. It's part of the living, breathing thing that is this video game.
Like, that used to be.
That's charming, too.
Right. Well, and that's something you kind of miss, you know, like, because, like, you would find those glitches, you'd find ways to exploit them and use them for your advantage. You have a friend over, you're playing some competitive, you know, like, multiplayer on a game or something, and you use some crazy glitch, just own him, you know.
Yeah.
And like, she's like, well, too bad, you don't know the ins and outs of this game
but
yet.
Now guess what, you get banned for that.
I remember a glitch.
Actually, like, most of the time you get banned for like going in and change, like, or using an exploit in the code. Like, I read the patch notes on a Titanfall update recently where there were some people on PC who were like using a see-through walls like patch, like some sort of a thing in the code, weakness in the code that they'd gone in and altered so that they could exploit it,
right?
And it's like, obviously those guys get banned and stuff, but yeah. But
well,
yeah.
Like, you know, I remember I think the map was Liberation on Modern Warfare 3 that had an exploit where you could go inside the rocks and like you could fire out from the rocks, but people couldn't hit you while you're in the rocks.
Because it's just hitting grass all
exactly.
around you.
And
you know?
You had to like basically get on the ground and like shimmy up to this corner in the rock and like just kind of get in somehow.
Mm.
But you know, they patched it and that's fine. Like, that stuff needs to be patched, but like you're right, in days past, like that would just be in there.
Yeah.
And you'd have to learn how to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's like, and then also you look at guns that get nerfed in updates and things like, especially in competitive multiplayer, it's like guns wouldn't have been nerfed back in the day.
No.
If a gun is overpowered, if it's OP, it's going to be overpowered for the rest of that game's life.
That's something that I kind of take issue with, because it's like, okay, so it's overpowered. Then everyone needs to just learn how to use it or combat against it.
Right.
You know, like, we don't have to even every single gun out to where they're all the same, like.
Or if you're going to do that, if that's what you're striving for, which is obviously what, like, Respawn was striving for with Titanfall, then take the time and do it. And they did. And the only things that they have nerfed have been, like, the amount of ammo that is in, you know, some of the Titan weapons. I mean, it's stuff like that where it's just kind of small things where you wouldn't notice it if you weren't looking.
Right.
But it's like they have just changed and tweaked a few things like that.
The one that I remember the most, I think, was in the first Black Ops. I used to love to use the
what was it, AK-74U?
Yeah, AK-74U. And, like, I don't know, probably about 6 months after the game came out.
It was a long time. Like, the first DLC had already come out, I think.
Yeah, they nerfed it. And, like, you know, all of a sudden, it doesn't kill people. Like, you might as well just throw it away. It is, like, it's unusable now. And it's just like, I don't even understand.
And then you just move on to the FAMAS, and you're like, yeah, I'm
right.
You know, I'm still good.
Yeah. So,
but yes, you know. You get to the point where like everybody's running around with that weapon, and it's like, hey, guess what? That's balance. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. The game will, it's like capitalism. It's like if you leave it alone, it will balance itself out eventually.
I mean, if there's only one good gun that you put in there, guess what?
Everyone uses one good gun.
And they're going to be, you know, the better players are going to be winning and the better, like the worst players are going to be losing. So, okay. So as far as, you know, where did we go? Like, how did we get here?
I don't remember, but that's the beauty of what's on our minds.
That is the beauty of what's on our minds.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know.
Wow. So here's another thing that I wanted to talk about. In the comics world, the Zero Year by Batman, or in the Batman comic, is entering its final act. And that's just a great story. It's really this is one of those things that I guess I could refer to our Operation Countdown for this week. It's a good reboot. Whenever they went out at this thing, he was saying, I don't want to undo any of the Batman origin stories that have come before. I want to do something different. I want to do something big, something bombastic, something bright colors. And it has been everything that it was built up to be. And you know, it's something that everybody should be picking up, that sort of thing. But yeah, Act 3 is finally starting up, and that's really exciting.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, that's all I have on my mind for this week.
Yeah, I can end there too. I mean, I literally can't think of a single other thing that is like nagging on my brain. I feel like lighter. I feel like, you know, this was a session of just like, hey, just get some stuff off of our chests, you know?
So like, you know, coming up in the next few weeks, we have quite a few, like we've got reviews of X-Men and Spider-Man. We're going to have, you know, the interview with Royden Lepp. We're going to have a couple of game reviews, Watch Dogs and Wolfenstein. And so,
and by the time we get in with all of that, E3
is going to roll around,
actually the 1 year mark for our for the podcast. I think whenever we started like regularly putting out content.
So we'll have a lot of stuff coming up in the next few weeks, 2 months. So you know, keep it locked here. I'm actually like I think I'm going to take some. Okay, I'm going to try to take some time over the next couple days
of
the
weekend. Qualifiers there,
yes.
You're not going to have that much. Like, you don't have a ton. Like, you're going to be out of town a couple weekends or something, too. So, like, I don't know if you're going to have a ton of time.
I'm going to try to just, like, take some, like, and just write some things. Like, okay. I think I'm going to try to write some articles. Like, I know I've said that before, but I'm going to try to finish a couple I've been working on. And, we'll see what happens.
So, something else that we've talked about, we're just tossing around this idea, and I wanted to throw this out to you guys who are listening. We've thought about doing, like, a Stay on Target kind of book list, like, where we read a book and discuss it like a book club situation. And so would you guys be interested in like hearing about that, you know, or would you, do you have any books that you would suggest where it's like, hey, you were talking about like a history of gaming book or something?
It doesn't give an overview, but there's a lot of actual like books that I did not know about apparently until recently that highlight history within the games industry, you know. It's like, okay, that sounds cool, you know, like. Or, you know, like we can read graphic novels together.
Yeah, well, you know, or like there's S, the novel I just finished up recently. I think you want to read as well.
Yep, I'm going to read that.
Very cool. We could talk about something we talked about, I think, last week on the podcast. We talked about doing it with a Hardy Boys, like there's an old Hardy Boys like handbook thing,
yep,
like
detective handbook.
Yeah, that we could do. And, you know, just some fun stuff like that. So if you guys have any books that you think that would be cool for this, or if you guys would be interested at all, you can tweet at us, you can message us on Twitter or whatever.
Yeah. This won't become like a book review podcast.
No, not at all. But we'll,
we
could insert like a segment every once in a while, kind of like we, you know, just go through some different segments and stuff too. So
yeah,
just another thing to talk about.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, well, I think that's everything for this week. Make sure you keep it locked. Our Twitters are
ChrisWright250
and JohnWright777.
You can find us always online at StayOnTargetPodcast.com.
StayOnTargetPodcast.com.
Until next week, we'll see you later on
Stay on Target.